At the beginning of service, I alluded to the fact that I was pinch hitting tonight. And look, I'm going to be honest. Your girl is tired. Okay. So, I mean, you all know. After service for a few weeks in a row, I've shared kind of what's going on in our family. But y'all know, those of you who are here regularly, and for those of you who don't, my husband and I bought a whole bookstore this summer. And this is our first Christmas running a bookstore. It's kicking my butt. Okay. let's just be honest. And last night we did a Midnight Gladness event, and we left at 2. Mercy, our drummer, was there with us to the full end. Like, we stopped at 12, but then we have to clean up. Teresa was there till like 11. Sue was there till after midnight with us. And so I was prepped to preach last week, and then I didn't, which was the grace of God, because I didn't really have a voice last week. And so it would be an easy thought to just like take that to this week. And that's what I was ready to do. It's on Psalm 1. It's good. It's got a lot of definitions. Y'all know I love words. And now I stand before you. And I'm like, is that what we're doing? So, I don't know. Is that what I'm doing? I was feeling the Lord shifting. And I was trying to take a minute to sort out if that's what we're doing. And then Ron was giving me the significant eyes and calling me to the podium because he's tired too. Okay. Lord, what are we doing? Jesus, what are we doing? We are in your hands, Lord. And then to compound it, I was joking with Bob before service, and we were messing around, and then I'm like, wait, okay, I'm not going to call this audible on you, I'm not going to make you do it, but you know that song, I don't know if you can play it on the fly, I'm not going to make you sing it on the fly, but you know, who is it? Rance, what's his name? Something about the name Jesus. Do you know it? It's the sweetest name. Can you play it? Can you even like hum a tune and make it work? Because I'll just read the lyrics. You know what song I'm talking about though, right?
I think I do.
I know, I just confessed that my husband was tired and I'm tired, and then I'm like, hey, can you play this really complicated black gospel song? It's not complicated. I'm going to pretend that it's not complicated, but a lot of those songs are deceptively simple. So, you know what song I'm talking about, right? And the guy who originally sings this has this like growl in his voice. I was like, hidden depths, okay. sorry, that threw me off. Okay, so this song. And if you have something, I'm happy to be interrupted. I'll just give clarity that I'm happy to be interrupted. Okay, the verse for this song. says, "Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain the power that I feel when I call your name. It's just like fire shut up in my bones when the Holy Ghost is moving. I know it won't leave us alone, and it's all because there's something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus." And then it goes, "Oh, how I love the name Jesus." And there's this tendency when we're at this time of year to make everything more complicated than it needs to be. Is that true for anybody else? So because I'm tired, I'm going to need y'all to talk back to me tonight so I don't feel like I'm just alone. Okay? Right? Okay? Thank you. So Caitlin went to Mozambique, and the first time she came back, that culture of talk back was strong. She sat behind me last year in church, and I was like, it was earlier this year, it would have been, right? And I think I've said this before. Okay, so depending on how you grew up culturally, and then I'm going to come back to my point. I'm just going to dip into this and come right back. Depending on how you grew up culturally, depending on how you grew up in the church, you may or may not be a talk backer, okay? You see it real strong in Black church culture, right? Where they'll be like, "Take your time, Bishop. Yes, Lord. Like, take your time. Make it real plain." Our former church, they used to say, "Make it real plain, Bishop." And it can feel weird if you've been in a spot that's more silent, right? Where that's the sign of respect, right? Is that we're listening, we're giving eye contact, but we're not opening our mouths necessarily because we're going to respect what you have to say. And so that can feel weird when people are talking back. But the reality of it and what it comes up from, it's like, we are talking about this. It's like reverse hospitality, right? The congregation makes it safe for whoever's sharing the word to fully bring the whole truth, to fully be vulnerable. The talk back says, "We're with you. We hear you. That's me too. That resonates. Amen. That's me." Right? And so it makes it safe for whoever's up here to go, "Okay, I'm here. I'm in the river. I'm saying what God wants me to say. It's safe for me to fully engage." So it's a different kind of respect, right? So I'm not downing either side. I'm just telling you that that's what I need tonight. Okay. All right. That's all I'm saying. And we lived in Kansas City for a while, and there was a conference. The space was international, but predominantly white. And there was a conference that was leaning into the African-American expression. And so there was a lot more African-Americans in the congregation one day than there normally would be. And there was a lot of talk backing happen. And I'll never forget that across the aisle from me were these two guys in their young 20s. And you look over and they feel like skater guys to me. They've got the shaggy hair. They've got the whole thing. They're in their young 20s and they feel they are not Black, and they feel like skaters. And so across the church, people are doing, "Amen, amen, amen, amen." And it feels good when you engage like that, right? It starts to feel good. It starts to make your spirit leap. And these guys across the aisle from me, like, they're looking around. They had clearly never experienced this before. And they're looking around and they're like, "Ooh." And the spirit's stirring up, right? It's stirring up the waters. And they're like, you can just see on their face that they're like, "This is different, and I like this." And so they decide that they're going to engage. But they very clearly have never been in this atmosphere before. And you can say what you want, but if you've been in the culture, there's some phrases that tend to repeat themselves, right? And they don't know any of those. And so the next time a point gets hit that they feel ready to engage with, they open their mouths, and what comes out is, "That's real rad. That's real rad. It's the heart. It's the heart." Right? And I laughed, but I was so delighted. I was so delighted. So it don't got to sound a certain way. It's just got to be there. But as I was saying, there is a tendency in this time to make everything more complicated than it needs to be. And we can put all this weight and all this pressure on ourselves, one, to be perfect, right? Be perfect. Two, and this is different than perfection, to present ourselves in a way, to have the facade, right? To have the facade, to show up in the way that you think everybody else expects you to show up, right? And so there's this internal pressure to be perfect. And then there's whether true, because some of us comes from families or cultures where this pressure to put on the facade is a very real thing. And then some of us just feel like it's there. Okay, so I don't want to ignore the fact that some of us really do come from families and culture groups where you actually are expected to put on that facade, right? And then some of us just think we're expected to put on the facade and we do it. But the reality of this season and the reality of our day-to-day life is that it's only about Jesus. Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. And when we strip back the curtain and we strip back everything else, there's something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. And if you've had an encounter with him, like I've had an encounter with him, you don't need anything else. And if you haven't had that encounter with him, you can. Any minute, any day, any time. I have a friend who makes products. We buy some of them for the store and everything. And she shared a story last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. She was laser cutting leather bags for Christmas, selling them. They're really cool. And she wasn't paying attention. And she messed up 7 bags. The laser wasn't cutting correctly. The die wasn't setting. And so she messed up 7 bags, and she only buys what she needs, right? She doesn't keep stock. So these bags were all accounted for and were supposed to be out before Christmas. And she couldn't figure out what was wrong with her laser cutter. She had, I don't know, 30-something, 40-something bags to do. She couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. Her husband couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. And so she was so upset. And then a friend called and they prayed about it. And she was just like, okay, Lord, this is in your hands. She anoints her laser machine, covers it with like a glory blanket and is like, God, it's in your hands. Goes off, comes back a little bit later and feels like the Lord has shifted things. So she starts cutting again and they're coming out perfect. So she's like, oh Lord, okay, thank you, God. But she's still going to be 7 bags short. And so she looks at her inventory and she goes, well, Lord, fishes and loaves and purses, you can multiply everything. And so she finishes her thing and then she counts to see what's left and she has 7 extra purses. And she goes, this is why I'm going to stand on God. No one can tell me anything about my God. 10 toes down on the Lord. And it can seem like a light thing, right? And then we all have other stories. I stand here and I talk regularly about getting healed quite dramatically at 29 from knee problems that I had had for 15 years and back problems that I had had at that point for 3 or 4 years after one of the pregnancies. Feeling the fire of God. Shook. I talk about, what is it, we're in 2024, so 2 years ago, the Lord quite dramatically, once again, healing me from migraines in a moment. Fire of God, boom. An issue that I've been dealing with to that extent for, what was it? I turned 40 that year, so 11, 12 years of those kind of chronic migraines, the Lord dramatically dealing with in a moment, right? A lot of you know several of my birthing stories where dramatic things have happened and the Lord has been present. And there's no excuse, not no excuse, there's no experience trumps everything. You have a moment with the Lord and it changes you. That's how we all came to know him. There was a moment when it became real. And maybe that moment happened when you were 3 years old. And maybe that moment happened when you were 33 years old. And maybe that moment happened when you were 83 years old. Right? But there was a moment when all of a sudden there was the reality of who God was. And he showed up and he became real. And then moment after that, you get to have more of those. More moments when truth becomes real. More moments when power becomes real. More moments, big or small, when God shows up and you didn't expect it, or you were hoping for it, and then when it happened, you kind of didn't know what to do with it. The reality of both those healing moments was that I had stopped praying for healing. Not in any kind of, like, I just didn't think about healing as my portion anymore. I wasn't mad at God. I wasn't even upset with where I was in my life. I leaned on him for the grace to get through those things. But I was no longer pressing for healing for them. I was just like, God, you're so good that you get me through multiple chronic migraines a week. God, you're so good that, like, when my knees are acting up, I can still get through what I need to get through. Or, like, when my back, and, like, all these different things. Oh, God, you're so good. And I thought that's where I was going to be. Once again, not mad at God. Just living life. And I had settled. And then God in his graciousness revealed that I didn't have to settle. And I think there's some of you in this room who have settled and you don't even realize it. Because you're okay. You're okay. And you're all right with where you are with God. You're not mad at him. So some of you are mad at him, okay? But there's a lot of you who have settled and who aren't mad at God. You're just like, this is what I'm going to live with. God is still good. God's still good. And just, you're cruising. And you don't even realize that there's more for you in this area. You don't even realize. It wasn't really a thought for me that, so like my knee things, I messed up my knees when I was 14, right? There was some kind of thing, I don't know, there's, you know, sin in the world means your body has structural instabilities sometimes, okay? Like that's, because there's sin in the world, some of us have junky stuff that has been with us for a long time. And so clearly there was something wrong with my legs because I decided to run cross country and I kind of dipped into a ditch and normally that would just twist your ankle. But because my knees were weaker than my ankles were, even though I didn't know it, it damaged my knees instead. And so I went through a chunk of time where I couldn't walk, couldn't dance. There was a really crushing moment in which I was at Barnes & Noble hobbling to my mother so we could sit down. It was when Barnes & Noble, really had good chairs, and we were there to like read and like hang out for an afternoon. And I'm 14 and I'm hobbling to get back after I've gotten a book, and these women, and I'm 14. So, you know, it probably isn't true. You know how when you're a kid, you think people who are perfectly normal middle age are ancient, right? Okay. Like, you know, and then you get to that age and you realize that they never were. But in my 14-year-old mind, these women had to have been past 100, right? I know they weren't, right? And they were slow, and they still lapped me. And that was this crushing moment as a 14-year-old dancer, that I could not even do this. I remember we went to School of the Arts, and the way the two buildings are is they're like a half floor apart from each other. So you have 3A and then 3M, and there's like a half flight of stairs because you're going from one building to the other, and they're staggered. And I remember one day going to my next class, and I only had to go up these five steps, right? And they're nice, broad, easy steps with a railing. And I thought, oh, why would I call the elevator that's so slow to just go up these five steps? And I went to the bottom of the stairs, and I put my hand on it, and I looked at them, and I realized that there was no way I was going to make it up these five stairs. These crushing moments, right? And then I got to the point where it was basically as good as it was going to get, right? So I'm out of high school. You know, there's multiple bad days a month, but we're good. I can dance. I can do a bunch of different things. And then there's just days where I have to baby my niece. And then I'm pregnant with my second child, and I get sciatica, right? I wake up in the middle of the night one night when I'm about 8 months pregnant, or 9 months pregnant, and I'm screaming. Like, I was screaming in my sleep, and I wake up not knowing what the noise is, and a minute later realizing, oh, that's me. Like, I'm screaming, right? And Ron's frantic, and thinking that after that baby that would be, because a lot of times that happens to women, a lot of times because of sin in the world. Sometimes we have to deal with these crazy things. And it doesn't stop. It's not that bad again, but frequently I have these sharp shooting pains. I realized how often they were happening when one day, I was pregnant with Nikiah, and so Zoe was 3. She hadn't turned 4 yet. And she goes to stand up, and you know how kids mimic you. She goes to stand up, and she goes, oh, just a second. And she like freezes halfway up because she had seen me do that so many times that she was playing at being mommy. And that's what mommy does. Mommy starts to stand up and then has to pause and say, nobody touch her, and then keeps moving. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really actually not great. And then we moved to Kansas City, 29 years old. It's our first Friday there. And I'm thinking, I'm just existing. And they call out, I feel like the Lord wants to heal knees tonight. And I'm not having knee problems, but I'm like, oh, I guess I do need healing for my knees. Because I had settled. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it when they called it out from the pulpit. And then, so many of you have heard this story before, this 18, 19, 20-year-old young woman comes over and lays her hand on my shoulder and goes, God, would you bless my sister? Just in this voice, she's obedient to them calling to pray out for somebody else. She puts her hand on my shoulder. God, would you bless my sister? And the fire of God, shunk, from the top of my head, down my spine, to my knees, and then dissipates. And I am shook, because it is something I have never felt before. And I'm like, and as they teach you in this culture, is you check. If you pray for healing for someone, then you ask them, hey, do you feel any different? And I go, she goes, did you feel anything? And I go, I felt the fire of God. And she goes, oh, that's good. And she goes and she sits down. Would you bless my sister? Oh, that's good. Trots off. And from that day on to now, I've never had another knee or back problem. It's gone. Just shook in a moment. And then that same year, I start getting migraines. It's very normal kind of age to start getting those. And I start getting chronic migraines. 2-3 times a week, 72 hours at a pop, completely uncontrolled. Don't know how to navigate them. Don't know how to figure it out. Don't know what's triggering them. Just pain. Eventually start to figure out what triggers them. Starts to manage that. That's not healing. If you're managing your triggers, that's not healing. It's good, but that's not healing. You just have something under control. We move back to Rochester. I get a doctor that I like. I get good medication. Okay, now we're down to just 12 hours. Okay, we're down to me knowing everything that goes on, knowing how to avoid them, doing my best to navigate. And then it's 2022, it's January. We're in worship. Once again, I'm not praying for healing from the migraines. I pray for them when I have a migraine. I'm like, Lord, please take, deliver me. But not as an ongoing, oh, I could just not have these. And Pastor Lisa approaches me in worship and goes, I have a word, but it's for you, not for the microphone. She asks me some questions. And she goes, I think I have a word of knowledge that these things are why you deal with this. And I think the Lord wants to heal you. I'm like, okay. She's like, can I pray for you? And I'm like, of course. She prays for me, goes back to sit down, right? She's done what the Lord's told her to do. I start to feel the fire of God on my brain. I feel things rearranging. I feel things disconnecting and reconnecting. It was not comfortable. It was not cool. It was wild. I'm holding my head in the middle of worship like, you know? Lisa's behind me like, okay, something's happening. Let me just pray into that, right? From that day to now, none of those migraines affect me. Gone. In a minute. Boom. Right then. The only migraines that I've had since then are after the car accident later that year when I got super sensitive to ibuprofen. And when I realized that they were triggering migraines, I went cold turkey off of it. I had a broken wrist and some messed up on the other wrist, and we were no pain meds because I was not going to let Satan take me back there. And I could feel when the migraine started happening, me going, well, maybe I wasn't really healed, because it was just like 6 months later. And I was like, this is very honest. I don't have enough faith to get a headache from the pain pill and still stand in the confidence that God had healed my headaches. Like, that was a real sobering self-awareness for me, that I was like, I don't have enough faith to stand knowing that I was healed and that this is completely unrelated, that this is just from this and that it has nothing to do with my actual healing from the Lord. I didn't have enough faith to navigate that. And so we stopped taking pain medicine and we just cold turkey dealt with a broken wrist and a lot of problems after the car accident. And then if I have a sinus congestion, I get a headache, but it's very different feeling than migraines. And so just out of an abundance of honesty, those are the headaches that I deal with right now, but not chronic, nothing else, very much clearly like, oh, you're sick, right? In a moment, it was changed. And so there's some of you who are dealing with physical limitations that you've decided are your portion, and you're okay with it. Some of you are contending. Like, there's lots of you who are like, every day you're like, the Lord, you're confessing, you're declaring over yourself. And then there's some of you who are like, well, this is just the way it is now. And you're not mad at God. And you're not even disappointed. You're like, God, you're so good that I'm still able to do A, B, C, and D. Or you're so good that I feel your grace when I'm in the midst of a flare-up. And that's true. Both those things can be true. You're recognizing the goodness of God and the grace of God, and you've settled. And for some of you, that settling is happening in your relationships, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your childing. That's not the right word, but like the other way, right? In how your relationship with your parents is, how your relationship with your siblings is, with your extended family. And you're like, God, you're so gracious. You're growing me in patience, right? God, you're so good. You give me the grace to navigate this. You're filling up the holes in my heart. And you've settled because you don't believe it will ever change. Some of you are navigating that in your finances or in the provision that you do not have, where you're like, Lord, I don't know how it happens, but you always make it work. You always make it work, God. And you're like, God, you're so good. You always make it work, which is beautiful. And you've settled that it's never going to be different. And I'm not talking about you being a millionaire. I'm talking about you having more at the end of the month that you can then use to bless other people or to do different things, right? Where it's literally not paycheck to paycheck, or it's literally not your one sneeze away from not being able to pay your rent, right? Some of you have settled. Some of you are really, really lonely. You don't have the friends that you think you should have. You don't have community. And you're like, it's me and you, Jesus. You're so good. And he is good. And we're a body, and you get to have deep, life-giving relationships with people who see you and you're truly known by, who pour into you, and you get to pour into them. But you've settled. Some of you have promises that are decades old. That are decades old. And you've decided that maybe you just misheard. And you're genuinely okay with God if it never comes to pass. You've genuinely laid it down and gone, it's okay. It's okay, God. Maybe I misheard that. Or maybe I messed up so bad that now that's off the table. And you're genuinely okay with the Lord. And you've settled. Because you've made the decision that this promise is now somehow invalid. Have any of you ever lost a check, right? Like you got a check that was for you, and then you lost it, and then all of a sudden you find it, but now it's 120 days later, or whatever it says at the bottom of the check, and now you can't get it, right? And maybe you can get it reissued, or maybe you can't, and you just kind of look at it, and you're like, well, that's on me. I lost it, I didn't ask about it, and now I don't get that money. Some of you are like that with your promises. You're like, oh, I lost it. I didn't steward it well. That's on me. God, you're still good. And yet, Jesus says, he is the Word. And in the Word, it says, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you can ask or even imagine. Exceedingly abundantly above. Exceedingly abundantly above. Some of you guys live really generous lives. Counseling, financially, time-wise, generous lives. And there's not enough for yourself. When we serve, when we give, like let's say you have a cup inside of you, right? And God's filling up the cup. What you give out is supposed to be when that cup overflows, right? You're supposed to have so much overflowing, rivers of living water over you that your cup is full and everything out and it just pours out onto other people. And some of you guys have 7 drops in your cup and you're giving those 7 drops to other people. And you're like, I'm okay with that, God. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or even imagine. Exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or even imagine. Exceedingly abundantly. Exceedingly abundantly health. Exceedingly abundantly relationships. Exceedingly abundantly in every area. A couple years ago at this time, I preached about sozo, right? The word sozo, which means saved, healed, delivered, whole, right? I'm really starting to go deep into this idea of shalom, of peace, right? And the thing that those two words have in common is this idea of that there's no lack, right? And a lot of times when we think about that phrase, no lack, we think just enough, right? Like, okay, well, I was able to get everything done, so there's no lack here, right? And what it really means is fully sufficient for everything that comes. So if I have, let's use health as an example because I'm starting there, right? If I have no lack in my health, it means that no matter what situation I find myself in, I am equal for the task. Fully equal. Today I am weary. Today I am exhausted. We are not fully equal to the tasks that were in front of me today. Right? Just honestly. Okay? It would be tempting, because I did everything I needed to do, to think that I had no lack. But if I actually look at myself, I'm like, oh, there was a lot of lack. There was a lot of lack. You had to stop. You had to get coffee. You had to like, there was lack. Okay? If you're not lacking in energy, that means no matter what comes, you have everything you need to meet that task. Not just for your ordinary day-to-day, but for crises. You have everything you need. If you're not lacking in love, it means that no matter what happens, you're able to pour out generously to whoever comes your way. If you're not lacking in patience, it means no matter what happens, your patience is equal to the task that is in front of it. It is not a strain to be patient. If you are not lacking in kindness, it means no matter what happens. If you're not lacking in gentleness, no matter what happens. Mamas, let's lean into that. We could be fully equal for anything that comes with a gentle word. I say that because I am a mama and it. Patience and gentleness. I am sometimes operating from a place of lack, even if other people don't see it. You and you alone. Because sometimes you cannot snap. Sometimes other people can not see it, right? They see patience, they see kindness, they see goodness, they see gentleness, and you know in and of yourself that you were lacking those things, and it was only the grace of God that came out of your mouth. right? That's not just for moms. That's for anybody, right? If you are not lacking in your financial provision, right? No matter what comes, you have what is needed to meet that task. No matter what comes. If you are not lacking in community, no matter what comes, your circle is with you. Your tribe is with you. And none of those things exempt you from leaning on the Lord. Right? Okay? There have been times when my community has just been so present for me when we're in crisis, but so present for me, whether they knew what I was dealing with or not. Someone sends a meal, someone shows up with something, someone calls or sends a text and is just, hey, just sending you some love, praying for you, right? And there, I feel so present and I feel so surrounded. I love Jesus even more. I lean on him even more because I'm like, oh God, it's only because of you that these people are in my life. It's only because of you. Like I said, I don't have these migraines anymore. So when I walk past somebody and it's a cologne or a perfume that would have triggered me in the past, I will say that my body still remembers all these triggers. And so I feel it. I feel like that anxiety, right? Like there's a minute when I have to consciously remind myself that we're good. Because I'll walk into certain spaces and smell certain things, or humidity was one of my triggers, and so I can feel in my body when the humidity's past a certain point. I feel it pressuring on my skin, and there's a moment where my brain is like, be safe, protect yourself. And then I remind myself, oh no, we're good. And every time that happens, I love Jesus anymore, even more. I don't love him and lean on him less because of the healing. Because in the past, every time I had a migraine, I was like, Lord, just grace, 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 grace. And it's tempting to cling to the lack because you think that's what you need to remind you about Jesus. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Because otherwise, what was the plan if they had never eaten from the tree? If we required sin and lack to fully love the Lord, what was the plan in the Garden of Eden? Because God's plan was to walk with us in the cool of the day, every day, forever and ever and ever. His plan was not, oh, I really hope they eat from that tree that I told them not to eat from, because if they don't eat from it, then they're never going to know true love. That wasn't the plan at all. We don't have to have the lack to know the love. We don't have to have the lack to lean fully on God. And I think sometimes we unwittingly hold on to those points of pain and those points of grief because we met God in those points of pain and those points of grief. And we think that's the way to keep meeting God. That's not for all of you, but that's definitely for some of y'all. I'm in the wrong spot in my Bible. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And this is the verses that I was looking to get to. Verse 21, she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from the sins. That's that word, sozo. He will save his people. He will heal his people. He will deliver his people. He will make his people whole. Spoiler alert, your people. You're the people. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us so that we can be saved. God with us so that we can be healed. God with us so that we can be delivered. God with us so that we can be fully, fully whole. And for some of us, some of that happens as we're stepping into eternity, right? As we step into eternity, it happens. And we get to reach for it now, because that's the plan. That's the plan. Healing. That's the plan. Salvation. Saved on a number of levels. Not just from hell. That's the plan. Deliverance. That's the plan. Wholeness. That's his plan for each and every one of you. Each and every one of us. That is the plan. And so if you're weary, if you've lost sight of that, if you've forgotten that that was the plan, I'm just reminding you that that's what he's here for. God with us. To save you, to heal you, to deliver you, to make you whole. You don't need a special extra word to know that that's for you. Those are fun and those are helpful, right? They get to underline things in our lives. But whether you've ever had that said to you with a call out or not, it is for you. It is for you. And I've been going back to this verse over and over again this week with for myself and for so many people that I've spoken to. There we go. Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident of this thing for each and every one of you, that our Lord, who began a good work in you, and if some of you are like, maybe he didn't begin a good work in you, you're here. You're here. You were born. You exist. He began a good work, right? He makes it clear that every person, he has works and purposes and plans for. So if you are here, he began a good work in you. Okay, you don't have to worry or wonder or waver about that. And that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to save you. He is faithful to heal you. He is faithful to deliver you. He is faithful to make you whole. And all you have to do is stay. And so I think what Emily shared much earlier in the worship service is so true. For those of you who are realizing, ooh, in this area, I've settled. For those of you who are going, oh, in this area, I think maybe I've forgotten. For those of you who are weary tonight, for those of you who are exhausted tonight. For those of you who the cry in your heart, whether you say it out loud or whether it's just kind of in the background, is how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Right? How long do I wait? How long, O Lord? I am confident that the one who is faithful and true, the one who is faithful and true, will complete the work that he began. And so, like Emily said, you get back up on that horse. And the picture, if you missed it, is Jesus, faithful and true, is riding on this white horse, and we are with him. And through our own whatevers, our own actions internally or an external storm, we get pushed off the back of the horse. And I don't know, have any of you ever like just really blown it? Right? You've really just blown it and you're like, oop, never going to do that one again. Right? Like maybe you've just really screwed something up. Okay. A lighthearted thing is early in our marriage. I was making pizza, right? And I made the dough from scratch and I was trying to make it form a circle and it wasn't making a circle. And I just decided that it was not going to be a circle and that I had released the frustration. It was not going to be a circle. And Ron from the other room, I don't remember what he was doing. He was doing something in the other room as I'm like, you know, he's like, you gotta spin it. You gotta spin it. And I'm like, this man. And I'm trying to roll it on. He's continuing to iterate from the other space. Spin the dough, Valerie. And I'm like, you come and spin it then. And he came in and it's like in any movie you've ever seen. It's rotating in the middle of our kitchen. And then it's poomp on the thing. And I was like, I mean, I wasn't even mad. I was just like, well, and I never tried to shape the dough again. I did not ask him to teach me how to spin the dough. I was not even angry about it. I was just like, well, guess you're the pizza maker now. Right? And to this day, I don't shape the pizza, right? My kids shape it. They make pizza. I will make the pizza dough or I buy a preformed thing. And it's fine. Like this is a lighthearted example, but I was like, oh, well, apparently that's not my portion. Never again. Right? And so I just don't do it. I'm sure that there's other more massive, more vulnerable things, right? Where you just completely stuff it. And it's like, never again. You kind of sneak out the room, right? You're like, okay, I hope no one saw that. You just hope. An example, this is not actually a real, it's not something that you need to do, but just a funny story. When I was, 16, maybe, I think maybe Mulan came out in the movie theater, went to go see it with some friends, was enjoying the music and everything, and, ran out to go to the bathroom and came running back in because I didn't want to miss something. You know how when you don't know the movie, you try to like run out at the time when you think, but then you try to rush right back. And it was one of the theaters and about halfway up, the railings started, but they were short railings. And I come running up the stairs in the dark and hit the railing and ride up the railing and fall off the other side right in the row where all my friends are. Laying on the floor, gross movie theater floor, in pain because I've just ridden up a railing, straddling it the whole way up. And there's a moment that's like, you should probably just leave now. But I couldn't drive. So we just got in the row and just kept it going, right? And so that moment where you have fallen off the back of the horse and you're looking at Jesus on the horse and you're like, maybe I'm just not supposed to be up there. And instead, like Emily said, you make the declaration and you say, I'm getting back with you, Lord. Whatever it is, big or small, I'm back with you, Lord, because you are faithful and true, and you are faithful to complete the work that you've begun. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are that faithful and true God. We thank you that you are not a man that you should lie, but that your promises are yes and amen. We thank you that you are faithful to complete the work that you've begun in each one of us. We thank you that you have promised, because it is who you are. You have promised salvation. You have promised healing. You have promised delivering. You have promised wholeness for each one of us. And because you're not a man that you should lie, because you are faithful and true, because your promises are yes and amen, we can be confident that you will complete that work. And so, Lord, we pray that you, with your eyes of fire, would be like a searchlight in our souls. And that in every area, big or small, where we have realized we have settled for something lower than what you have set for us, we pray that you would reveal it, God, that you would put your finger on it even now. And Lord, we repent for every area where we have set our eyes lower than what you have called us to. We repent. And Lord, we ask you to take us by the hand. Lead us from glory to glory to glory in that area. Lead us from strength to strength to strength in that area. Because you are the one who can do it. You are the one who can do it. There's something about that name, Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. It's the sweetest name. And so, Lord, in every area where we are overcomplicating it, we come back to the simple truth. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God with us yesterday, today, and forevermore. Thank you, Lord.
I have a parable and a testimony. And the scripture says, walk by the Spirit. Be filled, be being filled, be ongoingly filled with the Spirit. And like Pastor Valerie referenced, oftentimes we find ourselves just working too hard. Well, my car has been working too hard. In fact, it's been requiring whoever drives it to work much harder than the driver ought to, especially when the driver wanted to turn to the right or to the left. There's one way of steering a car with plenty of hydraulic fluid there to help you along. You know, my two-year-old could turn the wheel. And there's another way to turn a wheel. And that would require a little more time at the gym to do easily. So my power steering went, and thanks to the expertise of Rick over here, he's been actually having, my car has been in counseling. Counselor Rick has been repairing some undergirdings, some places where the good stuff was leaking out. But I didn't yet have the new fluid to put into it. So he repaired the leak earlier this week, and I hadn't yet put the fluid in. And if I tried to drive the car with the leak repaired, would I still have a hard time steering the car? There are times in our life where, when we find ourselves striving to make the right decisions, the right turns, where the issue actually is a leak. It's something that involves more than just a trip to the local store, put in the fluid, and you're good to go. Sometimes we need to actually lean into being part of a body and sit down with someone who can help counsel that leak out of our life. But having done that, we have another step to take, right? We can go to the store. Philippians is a good department.
Yes.
And get filled with the Spirit again. And the combination puts us in a position to drive with ease again. So whether you need some, you know, face-to-face sit-down, or you need some face-to-face with the Lord, fill me again. Fill me again. Get filled. Get filled. There will still be challenges. There's still hills, right? There's still traffic. But there's nothing like driving, walking by the Spirit versus walking by the flesh. It's no good. Let's not waste any time walking by the flesh. Testimony. About 2 years ago, I received a prophetic word. That word said basically, this girl, it was Penny, she is going to need a piano. I'm like, that's interesting. I have a piano. I like my piano. He's like, she needs a piano. Not just any piano. She needs a good piano. So start praying for for Penny's piano. Start praying for a good piano. So for the last couple of years, I've been reminding the Lord every so often, Lord, you said to ask you for a good piano. Meanwhile, our fine piano started going downhill. You know, a few keys were a little sticky. Then it was more keys that were sticky. Then it was a key that was broken. And then it was, our piano tuner said, it would take, you might as well buy a new piano. Don't try to repair this one. So eventually, I had to let go. It was a hard decision, but we actually lugged that piano out of the house. I only let go so far as to put it in the garage. I didn't actually let it go further than that, but still. Out of the blue, suddenly, this morning, friends of ours waltzed into our driveway in the snow and unloaded a gorgeous, incredible baby grand piano and said, Merry Christmas. If you are waiting on a promise of the Lord, don't settle. Don't settle for the thing that's okay. Don't settle for the thing that has a few sticky keys and it'll make it through. Sometimes we have to let go of the thing that is not God's best to make room for the best that He has coming. He is faithful.
Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, looking forward to that. If you're joining us online, thank you so much for joining us.